Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to Isaiah 59, verse 16. We're going to start there tonight, and just want to take a couple weeks here, and as we are thinking about prayer and the importance of prayer, just have a few messages on the importance of prayer. Tonight, I'd like to talk about the importance of prayer in the church. Last week we talked about the different kinds of prayer, and tonight we'd like to talk about the importance of prayer, not only in the church, but really in our lives, as we think about this important subject. Isaiah 59 and verse 16, a very interesting verse in the Bible. And the Bible says, as God looked down upon the nation of Israel, he said, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." Of course, this is speaking about the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus had to become man and become our high priest, to become our intercessor. But it emphasizes a very important truth. Intercession. What is intercession? Actually, intercession is the ministry of prayer, whereby we pray to God on behalf of someone else. And certainly this very important ministry. You realize the unsaved cannot pray for himself. And you realize that those who are struggling with sin do not have the power, if we could make it a figure of speech here, they do not have the power to break through to meet God, even on their own behalf. And someone needs, people need an intercessor. I think of Mark chapter 9, that familiar passage of Scripture where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. A man brought his son to the disciples who was demon-possessed, and he came to the disciples, and the disciples were not able to cast out the demon. And of course, the Lord came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord was able to cast out the demon. And, of course, we get that great verse that the Lord told the disciples. They said, "Why couldn't we do it?" And he said, "Because this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." We find that there's a picture here of the world, and lost people need someone who has power with God that can pray for them, who can pray on their behalf, they can pray them through and over the spiritual forces that are hindering them. And, you know, we don't really want to think like that, because we don't want to take that responsibility. But, you know, of course, one of our problems is we aren't busy enough talking to people about Christ. And as a result, we really have very little contact with the hopelessness of people who are caught in their sin. And there are many times there are people, genuine people, would desire that they could come to a Christian who has power with God and beseech them that they would be able, that they would pray for them, and that through their prayers they would have victory. So so we think of prayer, we think of the fact that Prayer is intercession. Praying, one who prays on the behalf of another. We remember that passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says that Paul says that he desires that men would pray for men everywhere with prayer and thanksgiving, making intercession. For God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Exodus chapter 32, and different places in the Bible, we find that what about this ministry of intercession that Moses prayed for the people of Israel? God was going to destroy them. And in fact, Moses intercedes on their behalf and delivers them from the wrath of God. Now, try to figure that one out. There's no way you can figure this one out. And you can't figure out. You know what? You just can't figure out how God answers prayer. You can't figure that out. That doesn't fit into, a lot of theology. It doesn't fit in there. But here's Moses. God wants to destroy the people because they're rebellious and won't obey them. And yet the Bible tells us Moses came before the Lord. Exodus 32, verse 31, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee." And of course, you have to read the whole thing. But he was going to destroy the whole people. He says, "Moses, you know, I'll make of you a nation, another nation." And Moses interceded for the people. Now, just stop there a minute. Kind of getting ahead of myself, but I think it's a good point of application. Okay, young person, adult, you know, when we aren't right with God, we can't pray for anyone. We can't pray for anyone. And when we're dabbling with the world, and we're dabbling with sin, and we're in the middle of the road, the fact is, we aren't even in spiritual condition to pray for ourselves. Nonetheless, pray for our loved ones, pray for our neighbors, pray for the hopeless souls around us that are bound in sin. You know, we need to think about this. You know, God has... we are priests with God. You understand what that means? We have a job. We have a job to represent God to the people and the people to God. We're to live before people like there's a living God. And we're to pray to the living God for people around us because they can't pray for themselves. And so this fact that the church has been given the ministry of intercession. And we need to be reminded that that's a vital part of our life, and that is a vital part of this church, and that is the purpose of this meeting. Prayer meeting, Wednesday night. It's not just another service. We have been given the ministry of intercession. Praying on behalf of others, for there are multitudes who cannot pray for themselves because they're lost. Second truth that we want to think about tonight about prayer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. You know, if you're not aware of it, there is a great amount of sparks in the air right now about conservative churches using Christian contemporary music, which is just plain rock music. And the real issue is, this is a real issue that is a very real problem, a real issue. And what is the real problem? How do you reach unsaved people? That's the issue. How do you reach people for the Lord in this wicked day? How do you reach them? And the fact is, people have found that you can reach people, I use that word in quotations, you can reach multitudes of people if you change one or two things, but one of them is all you need to do is use CCM or soft rock music. And you will get people in your church by the droves. And churches have proven that they can get people in their churches with CCM music and still even hold to the King James and still hold to separation and still hold to a degree and hold to dress standards. They found out you can still get people to come to your church if you use CCM music, if you use the sound of soft rock. Why? Because it's feel-good music. It's feel-good music. It makes people feel good. And you know what? It appeals to the flesh. It doesn't appear to the new nature. It deceives people to thinking that they are being lifted up spiritually because they feel good. They feel spiritual. It isn't spiritual, it's carnal. You know, the big issue today is this. I've been asked this question in a certain category, in a certain realm, recently. How are we going to reach people if we have high standards? How are you going to reach people? People don't want to go to a church that ladies dress like ladies. People don't want to go to that. The public doesn't want that kind of church. How do you reach people? So most pastors just throw away their standards and they throw away the possibility of their families having a godly seed and they sacrifice the future of their families so they can reach people. I tell you what, they aren't reaching anybody. They got one generation Christianity. And then you got to start all over again because you aren't reaching families with a godly seed that will really make what real Christianity is really about. And so the issue is, how do you reach people? Should we throw away the Bible? Should we throw away holiness? Should we throw away these things? I tell you what, all you got to do is lower the dress standard and use the soft sound, the feminine sound of like Ron Hamilton music or the soft rock sound of much of Christianity today, and you'll get a crowd. They'll come, man, they'll feel good. But it isn't going to be spiritual. They'll never want to have a godly seed. They will, but they won't know how to do it. Their children will never be content to be dressed modestly and wholesomely, and that it doesn't work. And so you would say, what do you do? Acts 2:47, look at what it says. This is in the midst of Jesus Christ just been crucified. 50 days later, we have Pentecost, and people are saying, join that group of people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're against them. They'll put you in jail. And the Bible says, Acts 2:47, what does it say? Praising God and having favor with all the people. That is a huge word. You know that? That's a huge word, having favor with all the people. You know what that's saying? It's saying that, putting it in modern translation, it's saying that ungodly people want godliness. That's what it's saying. They were attracted to the church. They were attracted to godliness. That's what it's talking about. An ungodly world was attracted to godliness. Today, churches say, well, the world will never want what we got. Let's lower it, and then we can reach people. And you know that's how they're reaching people. So-called. But Christianity continues to go down, 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 down in the long term. But what's the issue? The issue is the supernatural. And we need to understand a very simple fact, is that it's God. Only God. That can cause, just use that word, whatever way you want to use it, can cause people to be drawn to holiness. Only God can do it. Most people choose to take the shortcut. You know, I don't know if you know this. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know, ladies, that you go into Pick and Save or whatever, and you're a lady in this church, they know who you are. They talk about you probably. They probably talk about you behind your back. Oh, those are those Baptist ladies. You know, they have something to say. Ungodly people aren't drawn to holiness. Men love darkness rather than light. So the issue is we need God, supernatural help. We can do two things. We can compromise, and we can be like the world and lose our families and lose the joy of the real thing. Or we can say, this is only God can do this. And pray and come to Wednesday night saying, you know what? This church is all about the supernatural. Only God can do this. But God's still around. You know that? God's still on the throne. There's a holy God. And she's not here tonight, but you know, I think Dana Bolkamp is a good example. She gets saved, and a week later throws away her rock music. You know what? God does that. A couple weeks later, says, you know, maybe I should change my apparel. Obviously, it's a rocky road and ups and downs. But you know, what's the difference? The difference is God. And many times we come, and myself included, we live our life, and we don't live, and we aren't thinking that way. We come to church and we aren't thinking that way. The song tonight. What was it say? What does it say? The fight is on. Well, I tell you what, we are in a fight, a spiritual fight. And so it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, we have to be committed to what is right. And maybe some young people here, maybe adults, you haven't yet been committed to what is right. And so you, in the back of your mind, you just kind of say, you know, I wish our church wasn't like it was. I wish our church would just take it, you know, just kind of lower their standards, be more worldly. That would just make my life easier. You know what? What you're saying is we want to rob people of the real thing. We don't want to rob people of the real thing. There's still a God of heaven that's holy. And let me tell you what, He's far more holy than any one of us. And this church isn't even close to conservative in comparison to God. We need God's power. And we need to be serious about prayer. We really do. But remember, we're in a battle. Luke 22:31. What did the Lord say to Peter? Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat. You know, Satan's desire is to defeat us so we can't pray. That's his desire. His desire is to make us defeated Christians, so we're so struggling with our own sin that we don't have power in prayer. Think about that. You know what I mean. So struggling with our own sin that rather than praying and being intercessors, we're on the brink of always being almost close to falling. You know what I'm saying? There's not much spiritual power in that, is there? Instead of being victorious, we're always battling sin and being defeated. Well, that's what the devil wants, doesn't he? He wants to sift us as wheat so that we're not victorious in prayer. So we're not fulfilling our obligation. So we aren't right with God. So we don't have power with God. There's a spiritual battle. Satan wants to sift us. And lastly, the thought is that thinking of that phrase about Jacob, who wrestled with God. It says, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, thou shalt be called Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and men. You have power with God and with men. Exodus 32:28. And I appreciate the fact that you're here tonight and you're in prayer meeting. Because, you know, prayer is the evidence. And I know that many times we pray and we aren't really in the battle. But prayer really is the evidence of understanding the spiritual and the supernatural reality of the ministry. That's what the ministry is about. It is shown that it's spiritual, it's supernatural. God is the one who must do it. And our attitude towards prayer really kind of shows us if we really understand the ministry. Now, on the other hand, many times we aren't in the ministry. And the fact that we don't hunger to reach souls. We aren't Maybe we've gotten cold. We lost compassion for lost people. And, you know, we're not really in the battle. We're really not on the front lines. We're really not anxious to see lost people get saved and have their life changed. We're not really anxious to see the people around us to get victory. We're just kind of in our own little world. We've kind of lost sight of what's really going on. But when we really are in the battle, it is shown by the fact that now we understand, yeah, only God can do it. And prayer is the vital issue there. One of the great vital issues of the evidence of understanding the spiritual and supernatural. You know, we kind of think the Apostle Paul is a great preacher. But, you know, in Corinthians they said of Paul, your letters are mighty, but your bodily presence is weak. What are they saying? He says, you're not much of a public speaker. You really know how to write. And man, you can write some powerful letters. But as far as eloquence, you aren't very much at the top of the ladder. But what did Paul say? It says, not by words. I can't think of the phrase. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what he understood that his ministry needed to be. So just a reminder tonight of the importance of prayer. And prayer is on the cutting edge. And when we've lost our perspective on the importance of prayer, we've lost the sense of where we're supposed to be. And as a church, we need to understand that that prayer is the undergirding of any real work of God. We need to get hungry for God. We need to get hungry for the God of heaven to show himself who he is, the miracle working God. We need to get the understanding that realizes that we don't understand, it doesn't fit too good theologically, but you know, when we really get power with prayer, you know, unsaved people who are callous to the gospel come under conviction. When we really are, when we're really praying like we ought to, God many times is, hate to make the picture one-sided, but many times God brings them in. Brings hungry souls searching for the truth across our path, if not to the church itself. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you for your word. Now give us, Lord, increased sense of our need to pray and a sense of Lord, the fervency that's needed in our prayers. Help us, Lord, to judge our lives and to judge where we are in our life. If we are cold, we are callous, we are apathetic, we have become self-centered, whether we've lost compassion for lost, whether we have lost a sense of the supernatural, miraculous, holy God. Lord, give us a sense where we are at that we might seek you to work in our life, that we might repent of our apathy and selfishness and even our sin, that Lord takes us out of the battle and puts us on the sideline as the devil would want. And so, Lord, I pray that we would recognize that that you're still the God of heaven and you still answer prayer. And Lord, you still do and can change lives and draw them to the old ways, the ways of godliness in a wicked world, Lord. And so even tonight, do a work in our lives, even as we pray. And even now, might there be some who sense that they are far from God, they might get right with God so that they can pray. In Jesus' name, amen.